All right. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles this morning. I want you to open them to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. I know I put it in the bulletin. It was chapter 14, but that was my brain mess up, malfunction. And so we're actually in Mark chapter 4 today. And this sermon is actually one that I intended on preaching about 2.5 years ago. The sermon itself actually has been in the making for about almost 3 years, because it was back in October of 2019 that a couple from Parrington, Texas, Stan and Angie Burleson, came to our church. Stan and Angie are actually serving as missionaries through our Southern Baptist International Mission Board. They're actually being paid, or their salary comes from the church in Parrington, but they're connected with our Southern Baptist International Mission Board, the mission sending organization that we as a church support with our offerings, with our tithes, and with our going as well. So they are the ones that help us to be on mission with God to the ends of the earth. And Stan and Angie, who are missionaries in Lesotho, South Africa, and Lesotho is actually a landlocked country in the middle of that country of South Africa, all the way down on the tip of the African continent. And they've been there since, I think, 2016, maybe 2015. Stan was on staff at First Baptist Parrington, and they began to do some mission work there in Lesotho, and then God called him and Angie to go. And so they are serving there. And part of their mission model, in fact, when they came to our church, they explained this to us. They met with our women's mission group, and then they spoke to some other organizations in our church, and we met with them, and they invited us to come. And they invited us as a church to adopt a valley. They serve in the mountains of Lesotho. And it is a it is an area that is very third world, in the sense that not a whole lot of money, not a whole lot of resources. The people there tend to be, they worship ancestors, ancestry worship. They worship nature and those type of things. And so they're there working to share Jesus and to plant churches. And their mission model is basically to invite churches like ours to come and adopt a valley there in the mountains, and to strategize and to work and to send teams and those type of things, with the goal of planting churches in each one of the villages in that valley. And so our church, for example, is talking about, in fact, we're going to take some official action on this, I hope, in October. And I want you to be praying about that. The name of the valley is Madiba Matso. Madiba Matso, I think I pronounced that right. I'm not exactly positive that I did, but that's the name of the valley. And in this valley are a number of villages. And what we are talking about and praying about is our church taking responsibility for evangelizing that valley and planting churches in each one of those villages. Now, the very first question that comes up when, you know, we start talking about things like, you know, the ends of the earth. And I'll tell you, Lesotho is the ends of the earth. The first question that comes up is, why in the world would we as a church here in Brazoria, Texas, why would we want to, go to like Lesotho? Because it's going to take a lot of resources, it'll take a lot of money, and those type of things. There's plenty of work to be done right here in Brazoria, and then in our own state of Texas. I mean, we've got people pouring across the border down there that need Jesus. We got people living right here. They need Jesus. I mean, there's a whole lot of work that can be done right here in Brazoria, in the state of Texas, and certainly in our nation. I mean, there's a lot of work for the gospel. There's a lot of work for Jesus that needs to take place right here. And I'll tell you, beloved, again, that if we don't see revival soon in our nation, I think we're probably toast. I mean, I'm not sure that we're not done in. And we might very well, even now, be under the judgment of God as a nation. And the only thing that's going to turn that is revival, is a great turning to Jesus. And so there's plenty of work to be done right here in Brazoria and in Texas and in the United States. Why in the world would we even think about or consider a place like Lesotho, South Africa? And the answer is, or the problem that we have as believers or as a church, is we are people of the book. That is, we are under the authority of the Word of God. And that means we either take it seriously and we obey it, or we need to quit and we need to go do something else, right? I mean, let's quit calling ourselves a church. Let's quit calling ourselves Christians if we're not going to take God's word seriously and we're not going to obey it. And so we're people of the book. Why in the world should we go to a place like Lesotho? Because, for example, right before he ascended into heaven, Jesus had his disciples all gathered there. And what he said to them is recorded in a couple of places, in particular Acts 1:8. He said, and I quote, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, the "you" there, where he says, "You will be my witnesses," is plural. He's not talking to individuals here. He's talking to groups of people. He's talking to the church. He says, you all will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Now, if I were to if I were to kind of put that in modern parlay for us, or if I were to translate that for First Baptist Church Brazoria, I would have Jesus say, "You will receive power, you First Baptist Church, after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you, First Baptist Church, will be my witnesses in Brazoria, in all of Texas, in the United States of America, and to the ends of the earth." And notice, all of those are together. So we can't just do one and say, okay, we have obeyed what the Lord has told us to do. We've got to be a part of all of it. We've got to be a part of all of it. And as a church, one of the things, you know, as a pastor that I pray about and struggle with is how to lead our church to be on mission with Jesus in our Brazoria, in our Texas, in the United States, and to the ends of the earth. And so this particular part we're talking about is to the ends of the earth, Lesotho, right? There's other parts we can talk about, Brazoria, we can talk about Texas, and we join with the Baptist General Convention of Texas here and with our North American Mission Board as we seek to plant churches here in the United States, and with our International Mission Board and our missionaries to the ends of the earth. And for us, the invitation has been to Lesotho. One other thing that Jesus said, Matthew chapter 28, and you know this, it's called the Great Commission. He says, this is in verse 18, again, right before he ascended. He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." Now, again, the implication or the subject of the "go and make disciples" is you. You go. And the "you," again, is plural. He's not just talking to individuals, although we can take it individually. He is talking to the body of Christ. He's talking to believers. He's talking to people like us. He says, "You go, make disciples of all nations," and then he tells what to do, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the ends of the earth. And so, beloved, why should we go to a place like Lesotho? Why should we be a part of mission work to the ends of the earth? Because we are convicted by Scripture. And if we acknowledge that the Great Commission that God has given to His church, that it applies to us, and we take it seriously, then we have to do it. We have to be involved. In fact, one of the things that, you know, we've learned in experiencing God, for example, is that when you see the work or the activity of God, and you are invited, that's His invitation to join Him in His work. And to basically turn your back on that would be to disobey the Lord. And so that's why. Now, the question that I want to talk to you about or us think together with today is, what does that look like? Or how do we do that? And so Jesus says, you go and make disciples of all nations, okay? So the invitation is to join in the mission work, the mission effort with our missionaries in Lesotho, South Africa, to plant churches in the villages of the valley that I named earlier that I can't pronounce. How in the world we do that? Well, that brings me to the fourth chapter of Mark, to one of the parables of Jesus. Now, I think this applies to us, and I want to take this parable and apply it in this instance today. I just want to remind you that a parable of Jesus, and Jesus was a master storyteller, the parables of Jesus were earthly lessons with heavenly, or they were earthly stories with heavenly lessons, all right? And in this fourth chapter, he uses some agricultural illustrations. One, he talks about the sower that went out to sow, and he broadcast his seed, and it fell on different types of soil. Some was barren, some was rocky, some was weedy, and some was fertile. And some of it bore a crop, and some of it didn't. And then he explained that to his disciples, and then he comes to a parable that the editors of my Bible call the parable of the growing seed. And I want us to look at this morning and basically apply this to who and what we are as the people of God on mission with Jesus to the ends of the earth. Verse 26 of Mark chapter 4. It says, the kingdom of God is like this. Jesus telling this story about the kingdom. A man scatters seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, although he doesn't know how. The soil produces a crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the full grain on the head. And as soon as the crop is ready, he sends for the sickle because the harvest has come. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Now, the parable is about the kingdom of God, okay? And that's what we're talking about. The kingdom of God here in Brazoria, we're a part of it. The kingdom of God to the ends of the earth, the Basotho people who live in Lesotho and speak Sesotho, the language, they are candidates for the kingdom of God as well. There are believers there who know Jesus. They're in the kingdom of God. There are those who don't know Jesus yet, and they are candidates for the kingdom of God. Jesus says, this is the way that the kingdom of God grows. Now, he uses four illustrations here, or four parts of this parable that I want you to think about. The parable is divided in this, and each one of these parts means something. First of all, there is a field, there is a man, there is seed, and there's a harvest. Now, to understand this parable and the way it applies to us, you got to keep those four things in mind. There's a field, there is a man, there is seed, and there's a harvest. Now, for our understanding, the field is going to be Lesotho. As we talk about this, the field is Lesotho. The man in this parable is First Baptist Church Brazoria. That's us. We're together. Remember, church is not the building, church is God's people. That's us. The seed is the Word of God or the gospel. It is the same gospel that you responded to when you gave your life to Jesus, when you recognized the grace of God poured out upon you through Christ Jesus, and you accepted that and you got saved. That is the gospel of peace, the gospel of life that we've responded to. That is the seed that's going to go into the soil. And then the result is going to be the harvest, and that is going to be churches planted in the name of Jesus, or gospel churches in places where there is no gospel witness, and now that church becomes the gospel witness. So those are the four parts of the parable. And what I want to do is I want to show you how these things work for us, and I'm going to talk about the task of the missionary, because as I shared with the children, we are all missionaries as part of a missionary Baptist church, which is what we are. We are called to be on mission with Jesus. and even to the ends of the earth. And I'm going to use four words here. They're G words. They're going to be go, gospel, grow, and gather. Okay? That's the outline of the sermon. All right? And so we're just going to put it all together here and look at what it means to be a missionary or on mission with Jesus. And the first word is go. Okay? What does a missionary do? Well, first of all, he has to go, and he has to go into the field. I want you to notice that Jesus, as he tells this story, he says there is a field. And here's what the kingdom of God is like. A man sows seed in his field. Now, the first thing that has to happen before the seed can be sown, and that's the goal. The goal is to sow the seed so that the harvest might be produced. But before any of that can happen, the man has to go into the field. There's not going to be any harvest. There's not going to be any kingdom work. There's not going to be anything that takes place if the man sets in his house drinking tea, watching Gunsmoke on television, right? I mean, it's not going to happen. He has to go. He's got to get out, and he's got to go into the field. Nothing happens until the man goes into the field. Have I emphasized that enough? We got that? What's the first thing that has to take place for the mission to occur? The man has to go into the field. Now, if Lesotho is the field, then we're going to have to go into the field if we're going to participate and be on mission with Jesus in Lesotho. Now, that means we've got to enter the field. Now, in some ways, the field has already been entered because we've got a missionary couple there, and there's actually a number of other missionaries that are ministering there in Lesotho and in greater South Africa. And one of the things they've done is they have basically paved the way. They've opened the door for us to go. They know the culture. They know the language. There actually has already been some gospel harvest that has taken place there. There are already believers this area, and God is calling some of those folks out to be pastors. And so in some ways, the work has already begun, or the entry has already been made, and what has to happen now at this point is for us to go. I want to show you, or I want to give you a passage of Scripture. It's found in Luke chapter 10. And in Luke 10, Jesus is sending out his disciples, 72, and it says in verse 1 of Luke 10, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself was about to go, and he told them, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. Now, watch this. The going began with prayer. So Jesus gathered his disciples, and he's sending them out. He doesn't say, hey, I want y'all to stay here, and, let's gather together, and that's all we need to do, and let's just feel good about it and keep ourselves together. No, he said, I'm going to send you out, but you're going to go out, first of all, in prayer. The first part of going or entry is prayer and praying for workers, praying for the harvest, praying for open hearts, praying for open doors. I mean, there's a whole lot of aspect of prayer. In fact, I want to give you guys a resource. I put it up on the thing, I think. I want to encourage you to write this down. There's a website, IMB, that stands for International Mission Board, and that is our mission sending organization that we participate with as Southern Baptists. IMB.org/pray, and you can go on that website, and you're going to find a number of prayer points and encouragement and ways to pray for missions and missionaries to the ends of the earth. There's also an app, and I want to encourage you to get this app. If you have an iPhone or an Android or whatever it is that you got, you can go to the App Store and type in IMB Pray. And you're going to find the International Mission Board prayer app. And what it's going to do is every day it's going to give you a prayer point or some way to pray. And it's going to help you in focusing on praying for missions or missionaries to the ends of the earth. And beloved, today, what I want to do as pastor of First Baptist Church is to call us to prayer. All right? So we're going to be inserting ourselves here into this mission field. Praise God that we can, that the Lord has counted us worthy to be on mission with Him. But it begins with prayer. And I want to ask every believer, I want to ask every member of First Baptist Church Brazoria to make a commitment to this morning to begin to pray as we go, as we prepare to enter into the mission field. Pray for laborers. Pray for open doors. Pray for the harvest. And there's one other thing to pray for, and that is for persons of peace. Down in this 10th chapter of Luke, when Jesus says, "Hey, I'm sending y'all out," okay? He's talking to his disciples, 72 of them. "I'm sending you out two by two." And he says, "Pray the Lord of the harvest." And then down in verse 5, he says, "Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household, and if a person of peace," write that down, person of peace. "If a person of peace is there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you." In other words, Jesus said, when you go, you're going to be going into these villages, and you're going to be going into these towns where maybe there's no gospel witness, where nobody has ever even talked about Jesus. And he said, one of the things that you're going to be looking for is a person of peace. Or one of the ways that you're going to be praying is that God will raise up or show you a person of peace. What is a person of peace? Well, if I were to define it, I would define it this way. A person of peace is someone who opens the way for the gospel to enter one's social group or even their village. Okay? So a person of peace is an influential member of a people group or a village or whatever that opens the way for the gospel. Let me give you an example in Scripture. Acts chapter 16. Paul hears the Macedonian call, and he and Luke and Timothy and Silas, they go across from Asia Minor into Macedonia. And the first place they go to is a city known as Philippi. And they're in Philippi on the Lord's Day. Evidently, there's not a synagogue there. There's not enough Jews to have that. On the Lord's Day, they go down to the river, to the lake. There's actually a river that flows through there. And this is where the women would gather, and they wash clothes and everything. And they met a woman down there. In fact, by the way, let me just pause at this point and say that if I ever feel comfortable enough, again, that we're not going to have to worry about getting sick and all that stuff by traveling, we're going to plan. I was planning to do this in 2020, and COVID shut us down. We were going to take a trip, a group of people I was going to lead, and we were going to go in the footsteps of Paul. And one of the places we would visit is Philippi. I've been there a number of times, and it is a beautiful, beautiful place. And down by the river, we've even baptized down there in the river. Down there at that river, and so y'all pray that one of these days we'll be able to do this again. I'm still kind of afraid to plan these big trips, but we're going to do it again one of these days. But down there by the river, the Apostle Paul met a lady named Lydia. And she became the person of peace. She became the one through whom that really the door of the gospel was open. In fact, she said, "Hey, why don't y'all come over to my house and we can start worshiping there." In fact, if you ever get to go to Philippi, what you're going to see in the ruins there's the ruins of an octagonal building. And it was a church. It was an early church. And the thinking is that that octagonal building was located on Lydia's home, because her home literally became the house church there in Philippi, and then it grew up from there. She was the one through whom the Lord used to open the door to the gospel. She was a person of peace. And this is what you look for, the Lord Jesus says, as you go into these villages, in these towns, look for the person of peace. That is, God is already, the Holy Spirit's going to already be at work in front of you, and they're going to be individuals that may be open to the gospel. Maybe they're already believers. Maybe they're not believers yet, but they're interested in the Lord is working in their life, and they're going to be somebody that's going to be influential in some of these villages where we're going to go. It might be the chief of the village. For some of them, it might be the witch doctor, and they still have witch doctors there. But you know, there's some spiritual things, and there's some very nefarious spiritual things going on there. But the Lord Jesus can even use that. He can move those mountains that we just sang about, and He can open the door of hearts of people to open the door to the gospel. And this is what we're looking for. You're saying, Brother Greg, how can I even pray right now? Can I be a part of this going? And by the way, you can pray, and when you're praying, you're going. You can pray for workers in the harvest field. You can pray for persons of peace. You can pray for open doors. That's the way that we enter into the field. Nothing's going to happen without entry. Without entry. That's the first step. Go. Go into the field. And the first thing we're going to do is pray. And right now, I'm calling God's people to be people of prayer, to lift up Lesotho and the leadership there and our leadership as we seek to be faithful to the Lord as we go. Second word here is gospel. Gospel. Now, here's the point of the whole thing. Whatever else happens, we want to share the gospel, the sowing of the seed. So the man enters the field, and he begins to sow the seed. This is key. This is primary. If there's no seed sown, there's never going to be a harvest. The kingdom of God is not going to grow. The seed has to be sown. Now the Lord Jesus, in telling this parable in Mark chapter 4, he says, you know, he sows the seed, and then it begins to sprout. And it begins to grow. He doesn't even know how that works. You don't have to have a degree in agriculture to know if you put a seed in the ground, something's going to happen. Maybe you don't understand it all. You haven't figured that all out. It doesn't matter. It still works even though you don't understand it. And Jesus says this is the way it's going to be. So you sow the seed. You might not understand how that's going to work in people's hearts and lives or what it's going to do in a culture. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have a degree in theology to tell somebody about Jesus or what Jesus has done in your life, or to share the Word of God. So watch this. If Lesotho is the field, and we are the man, and the seed is the gospel, then the call is to go and share the gospel. And you know, that might happen in a lot of different ways. You know what has to happen before you can really sow good seed is you got to cultivate the soil. And so somebody might say, well, you know what? I can see sharing the gospel. You know, that's what the preacher does, right? He gets up and preaches the gospel and all that other stuff. Do you know what? The preaching of the gospel doesn't work if some cultivation hasn't taken place. And so one of the things that happens in a mission field like Lesotho and people like us is we go and we take projects that add to the culture. So it might be helping some women learn how to sew, or one of the ministries that they have there, because there are many orphans or kids that have been orphaned because of the AIDS epidemic that has gone through there in years past. And there's these children that don't have parents, and so they have this thing called mobile moms, and the missionaries support these moms that are taking care of these children. And so that's part of the ministry. And what you're doing is you're cultivating the soil and winning the right to be heard. What this means is that anybody that has any kind of gift to use can use it to help cultivate the soul. The goal is to share the gospel. The goal is to preach Jesus, ultimately. But you got to win the right to be heard. And so there's all different types of ministries that might be effective to cultivate the soil so that the seed can be sown into fertile or good soil. Now watch this. That's the goal. You got to go in to the field first, and then you sow the seed. Cultivate the soil and sow the seed. All the cultivation goes to sowing the seed so that faith might be produced. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, so faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ or the gospel. And so the gospel goes forth as God's people share the Word of God. And they might go sharing the Word of God with their gifts or with their talents, and they're preparing the soil, and then the seed is sown, and then the seed begins to produce a crop. Let me just give you a disclaimer. Because it's easy to get discouraged when you're sowing the seed and nobody responds. You know, in the 17th chapter of Acts, the Apostle Paul ends up in Athens, a place called the Areopagus or Mars Hill, and there's these people that all they want to do is they want to hear something new. And he shares the gospel with them. And when he finishes with the gospel, it says down in verse 32 of Acts 17, when they heard about the resurrection from the dead. And so Paul preached Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. When they heard from the resurrection of the dead, some began to ridicule him, but others said, we'd like to hear from you again about this. So Paul left their presence. However, some people joined him and believed. Now watch, there were three responses to the gospel. So the Apostle Paul is preaching Jesus. He's preaching Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And there's three different responses. Some people are going, that's crazy. People don't rise from the dead. Can't be. Forget it. I don't want to hear any more of this. They just complete and flat out reject it. Other people are going, well, you know, that's kind of interesting. I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. So there's some interest there. There's others who go, yeah, I've been wondering about this my whole life. Yeah, this Jesus is the one. So some get saved. Some reject. Some are interested and want to hear more. Some get saved. You have to be willing to deal with all of that, right? So just because somebody rejects the gospel doesn't mean that God isn't at work or that your sowing is in vain, because the Lord has a way of taking every seed that is sown and using it to produce a crop. So there is, first of all, go into the field, enter the field. There's the sowing of the seed, there's the seed, and now there is the growing of the crop. And this is discipleship. This is discipleship. The seed that is sprouted grows. Jesus said he plants the seed and it comes up. He doesn't even know how that works. In the 28th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus gave his great commission, he said, this is what you're to do. Go and make disciples. The imperative or the command there is make disciples. Make disciples. Don't make converts. Make disciples. Now, people are going to have to be converted in order to become a disciple. But the goal is making a disciple. In fact, the job is not finished until disciples are made. So you've got to make disciples. In that fourth chapter of Mark, again, that's what happens. It begins to grow. The seed has sprouted, and now it's coming up. And so now there's some watering, and there's some more cultivation. You got to pull some weeds out. You've got to help it. And so that is the task of the man in the field as the crop begins to grow. He doesn't have to understand it. He just has to do it. This is the work of discipleship. So what does a disciple do? Remember what Jesus said back in the Great Commission. He said, baptize them, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. Now, baptize means organize the church and prepare them for the church or going into the church. But teach them to obey everything I've commanded. That's teaching the Word of God. And so as people get saved, they need to be discipled. They need to learn God's Word. That's the way you become a disciple. It's the reason you carry a Bible with you. That's the reason you read it every day, I pray. Because you're growing, right? You're becoming a disciple. We're being discipled. We're discipling ourselves. The reason we preach the Word here. It's the reason we teach the Bible in our Sunday school classes. The reason we have D groups so that we disciple. We're growing together in the Word of God. In Lesotho, they have the Bible in their own language. And it's a very interesting thing. The missionaries don't just give out Bibles. But you have to earn your Bible. And how do you earn your Bible? You have to memorize seven scriptures. They've got seven scriptures that they give them, and they're specific ones that relate to salvation, the gospel, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10, 9, and 10. Basically, they're learning the Roman road and another number of others, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and those type of verses. And when they memorize those seven verses, so watch what's happening. They're putting the Word of God in their mind and in their heart. And then they're given their own Bible. And when we went a couple of years ago, we actually were able to witness this. A woman had finished memorizing her seven verses, and she was given her own Bible. And If they had handed her a pot of gold, she wouldn't have been more excited about that. I mean, it was just the coolest thing to watch this woman so excited about the Word of God. Would to God that more of us would get excited about God's Word in that way, you know, instead of setting our Bible aside, man. I mean, it was right there, and she was just so excited about it, because what happens is, and they understand this, I think, that Scripture transforms life. The Word of God at work in our lives is what changes us or transforms us or moves us into the image of Christ. And so what has to happen in places like Lesotho, in places like Brazoria, Texas, is the Word of God has to be brought to bear to our own lives. And our lives have to be changed and transformed. In Lesotho, one of the things that these folks have to put aside is ancestor worship. I mentioned that earlier, but it's a very, very difficult thing if you had been brought up and you had been taught as you grew up that your ancestors, take for example your grandmother or grandfather, was kind of watching over you, and so you needed to do something to appease them and make sure that grandma didn't get mad at you. So maybe you needed to, you know, leave some food or something. You needed to burn a candle or whatever it was that you need to do. There's a lot of ancestor worship that takes place. There's a lot of animism, that is worship of rocks and trees and those type of things. And basically, before a person in Lesotho can be baptized, they have to renounce all of that. They have to turn their back on that. And you can imagine, if you have been taught this from the time you were born, how difficult it is, or it's real. I mean, you don't do that unless Jesus becomes very real to you. And that's what takes place. You know, we told the story a couple of years ago when we came back from Lesotho about these 14 women that were baptized while we were there in the lake. And I was thinking about this past week because we were up on Lake Texoma, and there's all kind of boats and people in the lake and everything. In Lesotho, you don't see people even fishing in that reservoir. There's no boats. They don't have money for boats anyway, but they don't get down there and they don't go fishing. They don't go in it because they've been taught from the time they were very young that there's a big serpent in that lake and it will eat you up. And when they baptized these women, they were scared to death, but they went down in that water. And most of them had never had their heads underwater because they don't bathe that way. They bathe. It's not that they don't bathe, but they don't bathe by going under the water. And many of them, as they went in, and I was standing on the edge, there were some of the black pastors that were baptizing these women, and they would go in and just scared to death, and their mouths were wide open. And about the first two or three that went under, they came up spitting out water and everything. And so I told the pastor that I was standing there with, I said, "Why don't you encourage these ladies to shut their mouth when they go underwater," right? Because they just didn't understand that part. So he told them, and after that, they went down with their mouth shut. They came up shouting praise to Jesus because of what was taking place in their own life. And it was just the coolest, most awesome thing. But this is the way. This is the way it works. What we're doing is making disciples through the Word of God. And the Word of God is transforming life. The Word of God transformed your life. As the Lord Jesus worked within you, He does the same thing to the ends of the earth in the lives of the people of Lesotho. And so what we're doing as we disciple is we're also identifying leaders, and because we're going to need pastors for churches. And so sometimes the pastor of a local church is going to be the one who was saved the longest. And so if there are five guys down here, the one who got saved first, okay, you're the pastor, and we're going to be doing pastoral training. In fact, this is one of my gifts, so I'm going to be teaching that. And I hope to go in November, and we're going to be teaching theological truths to these guys who are serving as pastors. So anyway, there's go. You got to enter. Right? There's gospel. You share the seed. The seed is sown. There is grow. Now, the growth is taking place, and the last G is gather. Gather. That is, the church is formed. The people come together as a church. How many people does it take to have a church? Do you have to have 30 or 300 or 3,000? What do you have to have a church? Yeah, you know, Jesus said, if you got two, I'll be there. If two show up, I'll be there. In fact, if you got two, you actually got five, because you got you, me, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? So that's the church. The church is just two or more gathered in my name. And you know, it's the most natural thing. When people come to faith in Christ, they're going together in the body. In the second chapter of Acts, you actually see this. After the day of Pentecost, and Peter got down on the street, and they were speaking in tongues, and everybody was hearing in their own language, and then Peter preached the gospel. And it says down in verse 41, so those who accepted the message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. And notice the passive nature of that. They didn't add 3,000 people, 3,000 were added, okay? The Lord, the Holy Spirit, because it's His church, He's the one that did the adding. And then it says in verse 42, and they devoted themselves, and here's what a church does, to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. I want you to see those 4 points real quick. What happens in a church as people gather? Number one, the apostles' teaching, or the Word of God. The Word is taught. Okay, if the Word of God is not being taught, it's not being preached, if there's something or some people that call themselves a church, but the Word is not a part of it, that's not a church. The people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And then it said, and the fellowship. And this fellowship is koinonia. It's not punching cookies after church. It's the connection that people shared together. It's the fellowship. And so they were devoted to one another, to the apostles' teaching, to the Word of God. They were devoted to one another, and then to the breaking of bread. And what that was ministry. So now these people are ministering to others. The breaking of bread is sharing the bread around. This doesn't refer to the Lord's Supper. It refers to the breaking of bread or to ministering or serving. So watch this. They're devoted to the Word of God. They're devoted to one another. They're devoted to ministry, that is serving others. And then watch prayer. Isn't it interesting? It always comes back to prayer. Beloved, if those four things are present in a group of people, you've got a church, a group of believers. If you don't have those four things in a group of believers, you don't have a church. You don't have a church. If you don't have the Word of God, if you don't have the connection to one another, if you don't have ministry, if you don't have prayer, you don't have a church. The goal then becomes, as we enter and plant the seed, and as we cultivate and water and everything, and we disciple and watch the growth, the goal then is the church. The goal is every village in the valley to have a church, a self-governing church, a self-supporting church, a self-propagating church. That is a group of believers who are able to function as a body of Christ in the same way that we do. And that doesn't mean they have to have a building like we have. They might meet under a tree. They might meet in somebody's house. They might have a tent set up somewhere. Where they meet is not the issue. The issue is that the Holy Spirit is at work in this group of people, and they've got the Word of God, they've got the fellowship, they've got the breaking of bread, the ministry, and they've got prayer. And when this happens, when we see this happen, and this is the work of the Holy Spirit, then what we do is we leave. Remember, the first part is go, enter into the field. Last part is leave, right? The goal is not to go and stay forever. The goal is to plant a healthy church and then leave. Because if we stay too long, unhealthy dependence takes place. And we've seen this in many places, and our missionaries understand this. If you actually go in and do it all and the people don't ever take responsibility, then there really is never going to be a church there. So if you stay too long, unhealthy dependence. If you leave too quick, then the wolves come in too quickly and can tear up the sheep. And so it's a very fine balance. So we go in and we enter, we sow the seed, we disciple, we plant the church, we get it organized, we encouraging leadership and teaching leadership and everything else like that. And then we find the time, the right place is to leave. One of the or four words that the missionaries use to describe this process is model, assist, watch, and then leave. We might go back and visit as sister churches. We might even have ministry together, but we model, assist, watch, and then leave. Now, the one that stays is the Holy Spirit, because it's His church. He began it. He does it. He can handle it. He can take care of it. We can trust Him. So we model, assist, watch, and leave. That's the missionary task. Go, gospel, grow, gather. That's what we're talking about in Lesotho. So, what are we to do? Here's my challenge for the church today. First of all, I want to ask you to pray. I want to call our church to prayer. Pray for wisdom, pray for direction, pray for leadership, pray specifically for open doors, pray for persons of peace. Pray. Pray that we would be faithful to follow the call of God as a church body. So we're all in this together. Second thing is a mission team. We're going to be putting together a team of people from our church, and I think we're probably going to need 50 or more. If you would say, you know what, I would like to serve on that mission team, I want you. We'll be talking about this a little more in the next week or two, and I haven't quite got this figured out because I hadn't been around for the last week, but I'm just going to ask folks if you would be willing to serve on the Lesotho mission team. I want to gather you together, and then we'll talk more specifically. We're going to need a team that will help us to strategize and help plan, and maybe, you know, we've got some resources that we need to determine how we're going to use those and all these different things. There's a place, really, for everybody that feels called to be a part of the Lesotho mission team. Doesn't mean that you ever have to physically go. You may go in prayer, you may go as part of leadership, or you might physically go. And my anticipation is that 4 or 5 times each year we'll be sending a team of maybe 3 or 4 or 5 individuals. In October, we'll begin talking about our mission offering, and we're also going to be take official action as a church, and in our business, in our quarterly business meeting, about adopting this specific valley. I think in November I'm probably going to be going, and then when we come back and we report on all that. You know, the last time we did this, like I said, I had this sermon prepared about 2.5 years ago. Right before I preached it, something called COVID happened, and the world shut down. Our missionaries came back. And so the door closed for a while. Well, it's reopening. And now the question that we've got to answer as the people of God, as a church of God, is, are we going to be faithful to go through the door? So, beloved, this morning, I want to invite you to pray. I want to invite you to be on mission with Jesus. And if you've never given Jesus your heart and life, and all of this makes absolutely no sense to you, then today I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you in your place. And that if you will give Him your life by faith on the authority of God's Word, I will tell you that you will be saved. Saved from sin, saved from wrath, saved from hell, saved for time and eternity right now. If you'll give your life to Jesus. If you're a child of God, if you're a believer, I'm going to invite you to unite with the body. Maybe you feel led to be a part of this. Well, then come on. I'm going to invite you to come. Or maybe to be a part of this mission team right now as we just commit ourselves to being faithful to the call of Christ and God in our lives and in our church. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus that in this time of decision, we would be faithful and be found as doers, not just hearers of the word. May our answer to you in all of this be yes, Lord, yes. To be saved, to be faithful, to be on mission, to be a part of the team, to pray. God, today as we make our commitment to you based upon your word, let our answer be yes, Lord, yes. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.